Good morning and a very warm welcome to you as we gather together for worship on our online format. It really has been a warm week, hasn't it? As we gather together for worship, we're going to begin our worship as we sing together a chorus, well, not really a chorus, but a more contemporary song. Father God, I wonder how I managed to exist without the knowledge of your parenthood. Let's sing together. So we turn to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Father God, we wonder how we manage to exist without the knowledge of your parenthood. Lord, we are adopted into your family. You have chosen us to be your sons and daughters. You, Lord, choose to be present with us. And even as you choose, Lord, so you keep inviting us to be one with you. As we gather for our worship this morning, Lord, we come in response to that invitation to be with you, to be together. And so, Lord, we offer you our worship knowing that you're present wherever we are and in whatever we are doing. In this very moment that you are with us. And so, Lord, we celebrate as we offer you ourselves in worship. We bring to you, Lord, our bodies, our minds, our thinking, our hearts, our souls, as we bless you this morning. And we would pray, Lord, that as we offer our worship to you, you again in response, with your grace, through your Spirit, would speak to us through the scriptures that are read, that you would challenge us with the word that is brought, and that, Lord, as we respond in our own ways, that we would live more for you and closer to you in the weeks, months, and years that lie ahead. And so, Lord, we pray you'd bless our time together. And so we share together as we say together the prayer, Lord, that you have taught us, saying together,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever.
Amen.
And so, here these two passages of Scripture as we read them from Scripture. Our first passage comes from Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 to 9. The Lord's servant. The Lord says, "Here is my servant whom I strengthen, the one I have chosen, with whom I am pleased. I have filled him with my spirit, and he will bring justice to every nation. He will not shout or raise his voice or make loud speeches in the streets. He will not break off a bent reed, nor put out a flickering lamp. He will bring lasting justice to all. He will not lose hope or courage. He will establish justice on the earth. Distant lands eagerly await for his teaching. God created the heavens and stretched them out. He fashioned the earth and all that lives there. He gave life and breath to all its people. And now the Lord God says to his servant, 'I, the Lord, have called you and given you power to see that justice is done on earth. Through you, I will make a covenant with all peoples. Through you, I will bring light to the nations. You will open the eyes of the blind and set free those who sit in dark prisons. I alone am the Lord your God. No other God may share my glory. I will not let idols share my praise. The things that I predicted have now come true. Now I will tell you of new things, even before they begin to happen.'" Our second passage comes from Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. It's about the baptism of Jesus. "At that time, Jesus arrived from Galilee and came to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. But John tried to make him change his mind. 'I ought to be baptized by you,' John said, 'and yet you have come to me.' But Jesus answered him, 'Let it be so for now, for in this way we shall do all that God requires.' So John agreed. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water. Then heaven was opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God coming down like a dove and alighting on him. Then a voice said from heaven, 'This is my own dear Son, with whom I am pleased.'" May God bless his reading to us in Jesus' name. This Sunday, we will be baptizing two babies in our church at our Sunday morning worship. And so the theme of our service today is about baptism. And there are two very different ways to think about baptism or to approach baptism. The first approach would recognize the time of baptism as being a saving moment. That moment when we accept the love and forgiveness of God, that moment of salvation. And it's the most important specific moment in a person's life. Many people would remember the date of their baptism and saying that's when their spiritual life began. And they're always able to recall the day, the event, the day that their lives changed. But it becomes a specific saving moment. The second approach would accept all that, but it takes it just a little bit further. It would say that baptism is a time when God's love and forgiveness is experienced. It is a time of change, but baptism is just a beginning, not just a moment in history. Baptism becomes the beginning of something that needs to be worked out, the beginning of life, a spiritual life that needs to be lived. And so the first approach tends to overlook the journey that happens beyond baptism. Baptism is a beginning of something ongoing. The desire to see the world differently, the desire to deal with each other and share with each other and see each other differently, even a desire to see ourselves differently. as God shapes us and molds us as we live beyond that moment of baptism. It could be a fresh start, but it's definitely not a destination. It's the beginning or the continuing of a faith journey. For Jesus, when he comes to that moment of baptism with John, it is the beginning or marks the beginning of his earthly ministry. And the rest of Christ's life could be said to be the working out of the meaning of his baptism. Throughout our lives, we need to work out the meaning of our baptism. Every month, every day, every week, every moment is a moment of response that we live in response to the commitment we've made at baptism. And so if baptism is this new beginning, we need to work out the meaning of that baptism as we live life in everyday moments. It does help to remember the date of our baptism, but we must never see that as something in history, but as a continuing thing throughout our lives. As we continue to bring each area of our lives to Jesus, it would mark a new beginning. The story of a minister who had a dream that he had died, and as he arrived at the pearly gates, but to his absolute dismay, he was denied entry into heaven. And he began to say to St. Peter, he said, "But look at my credentials." And he proudly put forward all the sermons that he had preached and all the pulpits that he had stood behind, great moments of preaching to many people. And St. Peter said, "Well, we never heard those sermons in heaven, and there's no record of them here." And the minister went on to explain how he'd been involved in communities and served on boards of old age homes and children's homes and helped in different areas to spread the gospel. And again, he was told none of that was recorded. Dejected, he slowly turns away and is walking away from St. Peter, very sorrowful. And then Peter says, "Wait a moment. Just a question. Tell me, are you that man who fed the sparrows?" "Yes," he replied, but what does that have to do with my entry into heaven?" "Come in," said St. Peter. "Come. The master of the sparrows wants to thank you." Come in. The master of the sparrows wants to thank you. The point of the dream is that great and prominent positions indicated by skill and capacity. But small services indicate the depth of one's consecration. We can very easily have huge amount of skill, great capacity, but are we consecrated? You see, it's all about the way we live our lives. It's all about the way we go about our business. It's all about the way we interact with others. It's all about the way we do things. By working out the meaning of our baptism, it's who we are that counts far more than what we are. So great and prominent positions indicate great skill and capacity, but small services suggest the depth of one's consecration. There's an interesting story that comes from the 15th century about Ivan the Great. He was the great Tsar of all of Russia. To date, the longest reigning Tsar. He brought together the warring tribes into one vast empire known as the Soviet Union. He was a courageous fighting man, a brilliant general, and he established peace across the nation. However, Ivan was so busy doing what he did that he didn't have time for family. Friends and advisors were getting quite concerned, And they came and they reminded him that who would be the heir to his throne? Who would continue his work? Should anything happen to him, the whole world that he'd created, the whole union that he'd drawn together, might very possibly shatter into absolute chaos. And so they would say to him, you need to take a wife who can bear you a son to be an heir. The busy soldier statesman said to them that he didn't have time to go out to find a bride, but if they would go and find a suitable one, he would be happy to marry her. The counselors and advisors did just that, and they went to search all of Europe to find an appropriate bride for the great Tsar. And find her they did. They reported back to Ivan and said that they'd found this beautiful, dark-eyed daughter of the King of Greece. She was young, she was vibrant, she was brilliant, she was charming. And on the spot, Ivan said, great, I will marry her. But there was a condition. He could only marry her if he converted or became a member of the Greek Orthodox Church. Ivan said, no problem, I will do it. And so the preparations began for him to be baptized, and he was going through the preparations when all of his soldiers, 500 of them, heard what was happening. They then too made the request, we too want to be baptized. And so further preparation was made, and so the anticipation began to build. Crowds began to gather. 500 priests had to be found to do 500 baptisms all at the same moment. As the crowds gathered, you can imagine the visual aspect of it, of 500 priests all dressed in their black robes and tall black hats, which was the official dress of the Orthodox Church, with 500 soldiers in their battle uniforms, with all their regalia, their ribbons of valor, their medals of courage, all ready in their best outfits, walking into the blue Mediterranean to be baptized. Suddenly, somebody noticed there was a problem. The church prohibited professional soldiers from being members. They would have to give up their commitment to bloodshed. They could not be killers and be members of the church as well. This posed quite a problem, but they managed to solve it very simply, actually. And so they decided that as the words were spoken by the priests, as they began to baptize the soldiers, each soldier would reach to his side and withdraw his sword, lifting it high overhead. And every soldier was totally immersed, everything being baptized except the fighting arm and the soldier's sword. And this came to be known as the unbaptized arm. What a wonderful picture, a powerful picture of Christianity today. How many of us, as we watch this morning, have unbaptized arms? What areas of our lives have we not given over to Christ? What parts of ourselves have we wanted to keep away from God for whatever reason? How many of us have unbaptized wills? We do the right things, we do what's expected, we participate in the right services, but part of us is not really right with Jesus. How many of us have unbaptized gifts and talents and skills? Things that we keep away from God, that we selfishly hoard. Could it be music, painting, speaking, serving, sharing, visiting? How many of us have unbaptized bank accounts? Does God have any say in the way that we spend our money? Does God have any say in the way we earn our money? Do we have unbaptized social activities? What part does God play in the way we play? How much is God involved in our socializing? What areas of our lives are unbaptized? What parts of our lives have we kept away from God? The working out of our baptism is that we need to bring every area of our lives to Christ. Every aspect of life needs to be brought before Christ. Christ needs to be part of every area of our lives. That's how we work out our baptism. That's how we bring every area, minute by minute, day by day, week by week, into the presence of Christ and allow Christ to be part of it. It's not what we are that counts, but who we are. And when we talk about ourselves being consecrated, it's about who we are and the way we interact with our world. Who we are will determine how we work out our baptism and our faith in our everyday lives. Next week in our church, we will be sharing in our covenant service. Again, a moment where every year we make a recommitment to Christ. Again, it could be a moment where we bring to God those areas of our lives that we've maybe withheld. And maybe part of our working out of our baptism is that we need to again bring everything before Christ and allow Christ to be part of our everyday lives. Let us pray. And so, Lord God, we thank you for the image of baptism. We thank you, Lord, for the illustrations of what it means to have things unbaptized in our lives. And so, Lord, it is our prayer that we would bring everything before you. Bring the whole of our lives. May no area of our lives, Lord, be unbaptized. And so, Lord, as we keep responding to you, may we keep allowing you into every aspect of our lives, into every area of our daily lives, so that, Lord, we may be consecrated, that we may be who you want us to be, that we could use our skills and our capacity not to be what we are, but, Lord, to be who you want us to be in our world, in our lives. And so, Lord, as we do that, may we always bring glory to you and to your kingdom. May your Spirit work through us as we love, as we share, as we participate in all the things around us. May you be part, Lord, of everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so we conclude our time together as we worship together, singing, "Come let us sing of a wonderful love, tender and true. As God is saving us, may we bring every area of our lives to him." We join together in song. Thank you. Thank you again for sharing with us. As we go our separate ways, please receive this blessing. And so may the grace, the love, and the fellowship of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.